Harmless. Well, I had an idea. I have an idea. On Sunday, I believe, is the disappearance day. Disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Gauridas Pandit. Hare Krishna. It was a bit high and a bit too treble. So, okay. Sunday then is the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami, who's very, very prominent and important person in our line, and the disappearance day of Srila Gauridas Pandit, who was a very close associate of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, like part of their entourage, you could say. So is Rupa Goswami, but in a somewhat different way. Rupa Goswami particularly took up the mission of Lord Chaitanya and worked at that. And Gauridas Pandit, he was a personal associate, like face-to-face personal associate for many, many years. So I thought I could say a few words about them. What do you think? Yes. Would that be permissible? Plus also, according to the lunar calendar, as far as I can remember, their disappearance day is my birthday. Although according to the solar calendar, the common calendar, yesterday was. So, just saying. Plus we're having a celebration on Saturday too, so make the most of it. So this is what I'm thinking of doing, unless anyone objects strongly. And, yeah, say something about them. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Right, so I will begin by reading a verse. I'm going to read a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, Chapter 1, which is titled Srila Rupa Goswami's Second Meeting with the Lord. Tate Jani Purve Tomar Panache Prasada Taha Vina Nahe Tomar Hridaya Nuvada. Translation: had you not previously bestowed your mercy on him, they said, it would not have been possible for him to express your internal feelings. This is some of Lord Chaitanya's close associates, Ramananda Roy and others, speaking to Lord Chaitanya about the extraordinary nature of the drama written by Srila Rupa Goswami, or one of the dramas, about Krishna's pastimes. It's a drama, I believe it, well, it's either Lalita Madhava or Vidagdha Madhava at this stage of the discussion. And they're dramas, but they're not just some dramatic, theatrical sort of presentation, although they are dramatic, theatrical presentations, certainly. But actually, they are very, extremely profound presentations of the Absolute Truth, and in very sophisticated ways and in great detail from different perspectives. It's amazing, actually. There's one thing, you know, we have to introduce you to sometime, not now, but sometime in the future, some of the poetry, the writing of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, but particularly I think Rupa Goswami. When you talk about profound, taking a verse and positioning, anyway, it's actually a little hard to explain, but positioning the words in different ways in the verse, and each way you position the words, you get like a very complementary and very profound understanding of the basic statement. I don't know if that makes sense, but actually it is mind-boggling. It's truly mind-boggling when you see this. Lokanath Maharaj is really into it, and sooner or later we'll introduce you to it, and I tell you, you won't believe it. You just won't believe it in terms of sophistication of presentation and the depth of it. So they're saying then, Ramananda Roy and others, who are themselves great, great authorities in Krishna consciousness and very close, confidential companions of Lord Chaitanya, saying about Rupa Goswami, that if you, Lord Chaitanya, had not previously bestowed your mercy on him, it wouldn't have been possible for him to express your internal feelings. Let us read the purport here by Srila Prabhupada. Devotees acknowledge Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy upon Srila Rupa Goswami in the following words. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam. How many of you know that verse? Put your hand up. A few. Let us do it responsibly. Okay? Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam
Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam
Stapitam Yena Bhutale
Stapitam Yena Bhutale
Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam
Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam
Dadati Swapadantikam
Dadati Swapadantikam.
Translation: when will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet. So this is like, you could say, the pranam mantra, the basic mantra for offering respects to Srila Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada goes on to devote the rest of the purport basically to explaining this verse, although it's appearing in the purport. So let's just repeat the translation again. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? So Srila Prabhupada continues, the special function of Srila Rupa Goswami is to establish the feelings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What do you think his feelings are? Devotees. What are the feelings of Lord Chaitanya specifically? Okay. These feelings are his desires, that his special mercy be spread throughout the world in this Kali Yuga. This is the special, these are the special feelings of Lord Chaitanya. Prativiti achiyata nagaradi gram sarvatra prachara haibe moranam. The desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that all over the world, everyone in every village and every town know of him and his Sankirtan movement. These are the inner feelings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Rupa Goswami committed to writing all these feelings of the Lord. Now, again, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the same feelings are being spread all over the world by the servants of the Goswamis, and devotees who are pure and simple will appreciate this attempt. As concluded by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, however, those, this is a strong statement, so Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has concluded that those who are on the level of hogs and dogs will never appreciate such a great attempt. Yet this does not matter to the preachers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult, for all over the world they will continue to perform this responsible work. Even though persons who are like cats and dogs do not appreciate them. Hare Krishna. Isn't that? That's nice. It's really nice. So let's read the verse again, and I'll read the pranam mantra also. Tate jane purve tomar panache prasada tahavina nahe tomar hridaya nuvada. Had you not previously bestowed your mercy on him, they said, it would not have been possible for him to express your internal feelings. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Swam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swakadantikam. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who is established within this material world, the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, and give me shelter under his lotus feet. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutalaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitrade Shudharane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. We offer our respects to all you nice devotees of the Lord and to Srila Rupa Goswami. whose disappearance day it is, well, on Sunday, and where he does find it. So this is very nice. And Prabhupada, as always, is really being very profound, and it's extremely significant, completely significant, the way he's presented this. One might think, and in, you could say, quote-unquote, Gaudiya Vaishnava circles, you know, like the Babaji's, caste Goswamis, and people like that. So if the idea comes up of the feelings of Lord Chaitanya, then they'll be very quick to say, at least in so many cases, yes, feelings of Lord Chaitanya. He's in the mood of Radharani. And in this way, he's relishing Rasa Leela and all these types of things, Radha Krishna Leela. And these are the feelings of Lord Chaitanya. So, of course, it's a fact that Lord Chaitanya certainly relished these things, and they were very important to him. But the contribution, if you analyze sort of reverse engineering, you know what reverse engineering means? Mm-hmm. You don't start at the beginning and try and figure it out. You start from the end and just go backwards and see how they, you know, how they, where they started from. They do this normally with generic drugs. Yeah. Rand, Baxi, and all these companies, they reverse engineer all the expensive Western drugs and sell them for a pittance. So if we reverse engineer what is being said here, we begin with the verse to Lord Chaitanya, that Lord Chaitanya, the verse about Rupa Goswami, that Rupa Goswami established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya. So the verse, the actual Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, which we're now going to work backwards to, is saying that Lord Chaitanya, telling Lord Chaitanya that he, Rupa Goswami, he has understood your feelings. Okay. So what did Rupa Goswami do then? If what he did was fulfilling the mission of Lord Chaitanya, then let's see what he did, and then we understand what's the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Get me? Okay. Yeah. It was very important. And what did Rupa Goswami do then? Well, it's very clear what Rupa Goswami did. He presented the whole process of devotional service for us, for the world. His most important literature, there are quite a number of, some number of literatures, the most important of which is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Nectar of Devotion. And if you go through that, you'll see, well, Prabhupada said, it is our handbook. It is like the manual, how to do it. Now you get a motor car, you get some sort of gadget or something, and it always comes with some type of instruction book manual. So, Nectar of Devotion is our instruction manual. And where does it begin? It begins at the beginning of devotional service. Actually, it begins before the beginning. It begins by explaining how people who are not devotees may become devotees to start off with. And then from that point, step by step, how they can proceed right up to the top levels of pure devotional service and in pure love of God. So, you know, of course, we're in the earlier stages, but we're in there somewhere. We're in there somewhere. And it's all very, extremely relevant to us. So this was his main literature. He wrote a lot of it at Tir Kadamba. Who has been to Tir Kadamba? I was there. Why were you others not there? Why didn't you go? What's wrong with you? You must come. It's nice. Tir Kadamba is a nice place in between Nandagram and Yavat. So he was writing that book there, and various other books too, over a period of time. And the description is that as he would write, about, for example, Radha and Krishna being separated. And a great mood of separation would overwhelm him. And all the trees and flowering plants, bushes, and so on around there, they would see this. They would be aware of what was going on. They would see this. So as he would cry tears of separation, they would drop their flowers. And then he'd continue writing, and after a little while, he would write something about Radha and Krishna meeting. So it's all nectar, it's all ecstasy. It's not like on the material level where separation basically just means pain, and meeting is very happy and like that, and so they're very much in contrast with each other. But in this case, it's all ecstasy, just different flavors of ecstasy. Some like the chocolate, or should we say artificial carob, as Govinda Maharaj says. And some like the strawberry. It's just, you know, different tastes. So then he would talk about or write about Radha and Krishna meeting, and it's a sort of a lighter mood, you could say, perhaps, and all those trees and flowering plants would pick it up, and they would all immediately blossom again. It was very amazing. And sometimes he'd be writing these books, and he would just, if he was writing about the separation of Radha and Krishna, he would be in, well, it's called the blazing fire of separation. And Bhakti Ratnakara describes how one time he was in that blazing fire of separation from Krishna. And he turned to one of the devotees who was sitting right next to him and breathed on him. And his breath was so hot, the devotee's arm blistered. Anyway, this is a bit extra-dimensional. And really our point here is that the most important literature of Rupa Goswami, and actually of all the six Goswamis, is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and it is our instruction manual. Then there's also Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, And sometimes I've heard devotees get a little tongue-tied and say, nectar of distraction. It has happened. But, you know, it's also true in the sense that your material life gets destroyed and sure, that's nectar. That's just wonderful. Because it's too much. It is just too much. So, and Rupa Goswami wrote other literatures, like we mentioned, Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, which are descriptions, on the surface at least, they're descriptions, Vidagdha Madhava, of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and Lalita Madhava of his pastimes outside Vrindavan or in Dwarka, not entirely, but mainly outside Vrindavan. But like I said, there's so much subtlety to it and depth to it. It's actually mind-boggling what is being said in the guise, not guise, but in the form of the description of pastimes. Because after all, what are the pastimes? They are just the philosophy in action, really. That's all. It's just the philosophy in action. Because the philosophy is not just philosophy like different ideas and arguments and some logic and all that. But the philosophy means just a description of the transcendental reality. Yeah, and the sense of it. So Rupa Goswami, he was the leader of the six Goswamis, and his writing is the most important, particularly Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the orientation, like in Lalita Madhava Vidagdha Madhava, is he is explaining many aspects of Krishna consciousness. It's amazing. So therefore, again, back to the point. The mission of Lord Chaitanya, if what Rupa Goswami was doing was fulfilling the mission of Lord Chaitanya, that means the mission of Lord Chaitanya was that everyone could understand Krishna consciousness from the beginning or even a little before the beginning, and then into Krishna consciousness, and then right through to the perfection and beyond. Yes, because in Krishna consciousness, we have the conceptions perfect, more perfect, most perfect. And, you know, in a sense, it doesn't make sense, because if something is perfect, there cannot be something which is more perfect. If there could be, it would mean that what we're calling perfect is not really perfect, but it may just be very nice, something like that. But we have perfect, more perfect, most perfect. Krishna in Dwarka is perfect. In Mathura, he's more perfect. In Vrindavan, he's most perfect. But it doesn't stop there. There's even more most perfect. And most, and mostest most. Most perfectest. We can develop the English language. You can do that. People do that every day. Just create words. So it's like that, and actually there's no end. There's no end to it. From most perfect to even more than most, and then to even more than most, and there's actually no end to it. So Rupa Goswami, all the six Goswamis, but particularly Rupa Goswami, that was his mission. That's what he did. And he uncovered the places, the pastime places in Vrindavan. Why? For us. In a sense, he doesn't really need them because he's with Krishna all the time. He's in Vrindavan wherever he is because he's situated with Krishna in his eternal relationship with the Lord. So his going to Vrindavan and uncovering so many sacred places there is not really for him, it's for us. It's part of his mission of helping us. So this is why Srila Prabhupada expresses things as he does in the purport. And it's very important to understand this. Otherwise, we may get distorted, perhaps, or at least not properly balanced idea, understanding of what is Krishna consciousness, what is the mission of Lord Chaitanya, what is advanced Krishna consciousness. If we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, what should we work towards and in what ways should we try to develop? Should we try to develop Krishna consciousness in the sense of, you know, like maybe going to Vrindavan, Radhakund, and just sitting down somewhere and just chanting and chanting and reading the books maybe sometimes and chanting and chanting and like that? Is this what our program should be, and in terms of our activities and the actual, what we're working towards, what should it be? Should it be some idea of developing ecstatic symptoms? Should we work on our crying? Should we work on our shivering of the body? Should we work on having our hair stand on end? You know, what should we work on or to work towards? But Prabhupada makes it really clear here. And, you know, I'm kind of a little bit in this mood now because today Hari Sori Prabhu sent out some, like 20 pages of extracts from his diary of experiences with Prabhupada, in which Prabhupada was emphasizing this point and really speaking strongly against the idea of just going to the holy place and just sitting down and just staying and doing like that. You know, not that visiting the holy places is wrong, it's not. It's good and indeed it's important, actually. But to sit down there and just try and chant 64 rounds a day, or, you know, what, 108 rounds, or like Haridas Thakur, approximately 175 rounds. This is not the program. And I was reading, this is what Prabhupada was saying. Prabhupada was really speaking strongly against trying to do that. But what we should do, what is the mission of Lord Chaitanya? And it was demonstrated by Srila Rupa Goswami, is we should work together to spread Krishna consciousness, to give people Krishna consciousness. And because this is the mission. If Rupa Goswami understood the mission and was trying to carry it out, mission of Lord Chaitanya, that's what the mission is. Yeah. So advancement then, really. See, the thing is, here we are in the material world, and the fundamental condition, or like the foundational aspect of our material consciousness, is we want to enjoy independently from Krishna. And then from that comes lust. How will I enjoy independently? In this way and that, and get different material things, and so on. But the foundation of it all is that the focus becomes me. And what, you know, what I want for me. In the pure state, of course, the foundation is Krishna. How can I please Krishna? But then it becomes turned upside down when one, as one develops material consciousness, and people become very self-centered. And that's material life. That's basically material life. Prabhupada said, in this material world, the closest thing to pure love is the love of a mother for her child. And there are cases we hear of mothers running into burning buildings to save their child and risking their lives to save their children. So Prabhupada said like that, it's the closest thing in this world to pure love. But then the flip side of that is that the biggest killer of human beings is abortion. It's bigger than old age, cancer, heart disease, war, and whatever else ways people commonly die. Abortion is the biggest killer of human beings, as I recall. 50 million a year, which is as many people as were killed in the entire Second World War, roughly. So, and you know, people get so upset, some people, that something like 7 million Jews were killed, which, you know, is bad. Of course, it's extremely bad, but you know, it's like it's just the disaster of all time, or this the abuse of all time. But here we have 50 million a year killed. Basically means killed by their mothers. You know, at least on the request of their mothers. So you see, it's the material world. Even the best thing is not so good if you look at it a little deeper. Right. So, this is the essence of material consciousness then. Selfishness, me, my pleasure, my enjoyment, my benefit. And essentially people are just, their lives are focused like that. They're working for that, towards that. And as a result of that, their hearts become extremely hard towards others. And so they can eat meat without a thought. No problem. Without even it occurring to them that maybe it's not nice. Because the heart is hard. You know, it's very common in America, at least you hear, that someone's getting beaten up on the street and the other people just walk by and don't even look or make a point of not looking. So hard-heartedness, based hard-heartedness towards others, because of the extreme, exaggerated focus on ourselves and our pleasure and we being number one. So, to get out of material life, to become purified, to become pure-hearted, Krishna-conscious devotee, we have to break that. We have to break that. So the preaching movement of Lord Chaitanya of Rupa Goswami is very important for that, because it means we have to approach the people. We don't really get anything out of it ourselves. It's an act of kindness. It's not for our gratification, sense gratification. It's an act of mercy on behalf of the Lord. Even though we're conditioned to be selfish ourselves, but now we try to give that up to help others without expectation of some reward for ourselves. So in this sense, the activity of preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness, you could say, is a type of sadhana. Sadhana meaning a practice, like a systematic practice for breaking down that hard-heartedness, melting the hard heart, gradually softening. And then as the heart really becomes soft, then love, real love, can start to develop, and ultimately love for Krishna and for everyone. So in that sense, this mission, we can understand this mission of Lord Chaitanya, the mission of Rupa Goswami, as being so vital. You know, what's the point? What could be the point or the value even of thinking, yes, I will practice my fainting. I will practice it so I can faint very nicely. Because, you know, on the high levels, that's what people do say. You know, you've got to work on it. But it's a misunderstanding. And Prabhupada was talking about this. I don't know if any of you saw that. I could forward it to you if you like. Wow, it's pretty strong. But it's just all Prabhupada speaking. So you see, the point here is a very important point. We need it. We need to preach Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, how are we going to break down that false ego, which is like a rock? It's like steel. How are we going to break it down? This is the process of Lord Chaitanya. You can break the steel frame around the heart, and in this way bring out the natural Krishna consciousness, if you follow that process which was given by Lord Chaitanya, the Sankirtan movement, the movement of preaching and giving people Krishna consciousness in different ways. What do you think? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it makes pretty good sense. And, you know, it's a sadhana. And our hearts are a little bit, you know, a little bit on the hard side. We tend to focus on ourselves, which means that it may not be so easy. We may have some internal resistance. May or may not, it depends on the individual. And, you know, at different times we may have different feelings about it. But we should make the effort Participating in the Sankirtan movement, the preaching movement, means we make an effort. Even though our mind may have another idea, sometimes we say, the mind has a mind of its own. It's sort of got it. The mind is his own man. An independent thinker. So we may have to make a bit of an effort, and sometimes it may even be a bit of a struggle. I was with Niranjan Maharaj in St. Petersburg. It was about the third or fourth of this month, and we were talking with Darishanta Prabhu about our experiences with Srila Prabhupada. And Niranjan Maharaj was explaining how he got this idea he should distribute Prabhupada's books and this will please Prabhupada and this is what he should do, and he just tried to do it. But it was really hard. And he was saying how on numerous occasions on the street he couldn't distribute anything and he'd break down crying. But then he'd think, no, I've got to carry on. And after a while, he sort of broke through. And, you know, it started to flow. He started really getting some mercy. So this is a mission of Rupa Goswami, whose disappearance day it is on Sunday. And he was very amazing, transcendental personality. You know the story about the black snake?
No?
No?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you the story. Rupa Goswami, he wrote many things. Well, yeah, many things you could say. He wrote a lot of poems. One poem he wrote was called Chatu Pushpanjali, which means four offerings of flowers, basically. So, in the first verse, he concludes the verse by saying, it's about Radharani, the whole poem's about Radharani. End of the first verse, he says, Radharani's so beautiful, and her hair is so beautiful, and she ties it in a single plait. You know, she doesn't have, you know, the jazzy hair. You know, and all that. She ties it in a single plait down her back. I'm just looking around to see. I'm not insulting anyone. At least no one who's present. And so her hair, long hair, down her back. And when she moves, the plait moves. And when it moves, it looks like a black snake. Because her hair is black, black. So Rupa Goswami wrote that. And he went to Shamakund. Siddhartha Goswami was staying there. It's near where the two kunds meet, but on the Shamakund side. So Siddhartha Goswami was there, and he's the older brother. And even though Rupa Goswami is the leader, but still he accepted Sanatan as one of his siksha gurus. So he was a worshipable personality for Rupa. So he wanted Sanatan Goswami to check the poem and, you know, make suggestions or criticisms. If it can be improved, if there's some mistakes. So he presented the poem to Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan started reading. And then he came across this line. Radharani's hair, when it moves, when the plait moves, it looks like a black snake. And Sanatan was shocked. And he thought, what do you mean, black snake? How can you say that about Radharani? Because snakes, you know, snakes are not nice at all. How could he say that? But then he thought, but he's Rupa Goswami. He's not just some writer. He's Rupa Goswami. And he's perfect. But how could he say this? What's going on? So he got into a real quandary. And Rupa Goswami was waiting there to get some feedback. And he was asking Sanatana Goswami, so what do you think? What do you think? And Sanatana Goswami said, well, I have to think about it. Let me just go outside. So he went outside and sat on the banks of Shamakund, feeling really concerned. Black snake? Radharani? But this is Rupa Goswami who has said this. But how could he say it? It seems quite inappropriate. So he's sitting there, you know, worrying about it, thinking about it. And then on the other side of Shamakund, it's only like 50 or 60 meters away, some village girls came on the banks of the Kund, and they were playing a ball game, throwing a ball back and forward and jumping and shouting and laughing. And Sanatana Goswami is sitting there worrying about this, but looking at them. And then he saw one of the girls had her back to him, and he saw a black snake suddenly started climbing up her back to bite her on the neck. And he jumped up and shouted, "Snake, snake, snake, watch out!" And all the girls were, "Snake, where's the snake?" "On her back!" And they looked on her back, and they started roaring with laughter. And they said, "That's not a snake. It's her hair." And they laughed and laughed. And Sanatana Goswami felt very embarrassed. And suddenly, they vanished. They didn't just run away very quickly. They just vanished on the spot. And Sanatana Goswami saw that. And then he understood, oh, that was Radharani and the gopis. And they appeared like that to show me that whatever Rupa Goswami says is right. And I shouldn't question it. And her hair, when she moves, her hair does look like a black snake. So then Rupa came out and said, "Please, come on, tell me what you think about the poem." And Sanatana Goswami said, "It's a wonderful poem. It is just fantastic. And you know, this bit about the black snake, that's the best." I just love that part. So this is Rupa Goswami. Yeah, you know, there's so much one could say about Rupa Goswami. Let us just briefly mention something about Gauridas Pandit, because he was a real transcendental character, like a number of Lord Chaitanya's associates, and particularly Lord Nityananda's associates. They're real characters. So Gauridas Pandit, he was the first devotee to worship Gaur Nittai deities. He actually took permission from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to have deities made of them while they were present. And they're still there. What's it called? Ambika Kalna, is it? Or anyway, they're still there somewhere in where his place was. Those original deities. So there are many amazing exchanges he had with the deities. Amazing pastimes, really. Quite something. He would, at least there was a period of time when he would cook big offerings every day for them, like 50 preparations. And he'd cook them, he'd get the ingredients himself, cut them up and clean and all that himself, and then cook it all himself, and then assemble it all and offer it himself. And this took him the whole day. And by the time he was finished, it was maybe 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he was exhausted. And he'd just do the offering, and that would be it. He'd just practically collapse. So one day, he had done just done the offering, I mean, just chanted the mantras, and he's still there in front of the deities. And Lord Chaitanya spoke to him and said, Gauridas, you know, we feel so bad every day seeing you just exhausting yourself, just wiping yourself out to offer us these big feasts. But please know that you don't need to cook so much. We don't need so much. We'll be happy with just some spinach, shark, and plain white rice. That'll be enough. We'll be happy. And, you know, we just, and then you can do other things. You can chant and do so many other things. And Gauridas looked at Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and he said, I see. You don't like my cooking. And Lord Chaitanya said, no. We love your cooking. Your cooking's just wonderful. But we really don't like to see that you're just so exhausted and fatigued every day. We don't like to see that. And Lord Nityananda said, yeah. No, you could go out and preach. You could go out on Harinam. There are many nice things you could do. And Gauridas looked at him and said, I knew you didn't like my cooking. You don't like my beans, do you? And Lord Nityananda also saying, no, it's all right. So in the end, they told Gauridas, look, just cook whatever you like, it's okay. We'll accept it. We'll leave it up to you. So Gauridas, he was a character. I'll tell you one last story about Gauridas Pandit and his deities. Gopanima was coming, like a couple of weeks away or so. And Gauridas got together with his disciple, like his leading disciple was Ananda Chaitanya. So they got together and Gauridas said, you know, we got these beautiful deities here. Gopanima's coming. I want to invite all the devotees from just all over the region and as many devotees as we can. So we must invite them. And Ananda Chaitanya said, right, yes. And Gauridas said, okay, thing is, I got to go away for a couple of days. But when I get back, I'll write out the invitations and we'll send them out. So off he went for a few days. But then he didn't come back, at least when he said he would come back. And, you know, another day passed and another day and another day. And they couldn't do, you know, a mass spam mail out by SMS or email. It was all handwritten, every piece, and hand-delivered. And there was Ananda Chaitanya in anxiety that there's not going to be time. These devotees may get the invitation and there won't be time to come, or it may even be after Gaur Purnima and they'll get the invitation. So Ananda Chaitanya decided, I'll write the invitations and send them out myself. And he did. The next day, Gauridas Pandit returned and said, right, give me the paper. I'm going to write the invitations. We'll send them out. And Ananda Chaitanya said, I already sent them out. And Gauridas got so upset. You have invited them. You. Oh, I see. I wanted to invite them, but you have invited them. And he said, all right, you've invited them, that's fine. So you have your festival with your guests, but not here in the temple in front of the deities. No, no, no. You have your festival with your guests down by the Ganges. They're right on the bank of the Ganges. And Ananda Chaitanya, you know, he was only trying to serve and help as best he could. So he was very upset. But Gauridas was so insistent. So that's what he had to do. So Gaur Purnima came. Gauridas told him, out. Get out and receive your guests outside and have your festival. And I will have my festival with the deities in the temple. And he locked the door from the inside. So, sure enough, hundreds of people came, hundreds of devotees. It was a big gathering. And they all just gathered by the Ganges and they started having kirtan. And what kirtan they had. Wow. Amazing. And there's Gauridas in the temple now with his one man kirtan with one pair of kartals. And there's the deities. And then he saw on the altar, Lord Chaitanya on the altar started moving gently in time with the kirtan down by the Ganges, because the sound was just pouring in. And Gauridas told him, stop that. You're a deity. Stand there. And Lord Chaitanya stood there again. But then the kirtan built up and up and even more. And Lord Chaitanya started really moving. And Gauridas told him, stop that. Just stop that. And so the deity stood again. But then the kirtan built up even more and it just overflowed. And Lord Chaitanya jumped off the altar, went running to the door, unlocked the door, and just ran out down to where the devotees were having kirtan by the Ganges. And Gauridas Pandit picked up a stick and he chased Lord Chaitanya. Get back! Get back on the altar! And there are all these devotees in the kirtan and it's just full ecstasy. And suddenly the deity of Lord Chaitanya came flying through. Wow, what happened? And then Gauridas came flying through. So there's this big chase scene through the crowd, dodging around. And eventually, Gauridas cornered Lord Chaitanya. So he's there with a stick. And Ananda Chaitanya was there. And Lord Chaitanya didn't know what to do, how to escape. So what he did, he dived into the heart of Ananda Chaitanya. And when Gauridas saw that, it just completely overwhelmed him. That this, my disciple, Ananda Chaitanya, I thought he's some sort of, you know, just a, some sort of busybody rascal type. But actually he's a great devotee, and now Lord Chaitanya has taken shelter of him. So on the spot, he renamed him. From today on, your name will be Hriday Chaitanya. He within whose heart is Lord Chaitanya. And he is known generally as Hriday Chaitanya. That devotee is the spiritual master of, who is it? Shamananda, Pandit. Yes, so see, Rupa Goswami, Gauridas Pandit. Wow, amazing characters. And it's like Rupa Goswami was like the architect who designed, he gave the structure for the spreading of Lord Chaitanya's movement through preaching, through literature, through chanting, but through literature to help people to understand. And Prabhupada, that was his main thrust. Sankirtan, but even particularly through literature. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Rupa Goswami ki. Srila Gauridas Pandit ki.
Jai.
Gaur Premanande.